This is Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. Stories out of that great fabric of visions, struggles, and accomplishments of the American past. Stories of our inheritance.
A morning in June, the year 1845. The warm Tennessee sun sends a golden shaft of light through the tall windows of the Hermitage and settles lightly on an age-withered hand, resting on the coverlet of a big four-poster bed. Yes, it is an old hand, tough and gnarled like hickory, weathered brown by the suns and rains of time. And under that hand is a letter written many years ago. A letter from Elizabeth Jackson to her son Andrew in the year 1780.
My dear son Andrew, I am penning this letter from a British prison ship in Charleston Harbor, where so many of our brave boys are lying sore wounded and sick with plague. I feel it is God's will and my duty to my country to remain here and tend to their needs until the good Lord permits me to...
Old Hickory lies back on his pillows, his hand gently caressing that time-yellowed letter. His mind drifts back to a cabin in the wilderness of North Carolina when he was a lad of 12. That day when his mother and older brother Robbie were about to begin their evening meal with three long-barreled rifles primed and ready for use, propped up against the rough pine table. And how the three of them reached for their flintlocks when they heard that knock on the door.
Do you think it's the bushwhackers come again, Ma?
If it is, we'll give them what we gave them before.
Easy, lads. And don't shoot until you know what you're shooting at. Who be out there?
McGregor, Mrs. Jackson. Jock McGregor.
Oh,
it's Jock.
Jock the peddler.
Oh, ah, and welcome you are indeed, Mr. McGregor.
I greet you all.
We thought you were the bushwhackers.
You will forgive our lad string hanging in, but times like
these...
Never
expected to see you.
And why not, laddie? It's my job, isn't it? Bringing folks here in the backwoods the things they need.
Yeah, but with a war and all, you should be a shouldering a musket instead of a pack.
Robbie.
Now, don't any scold the lad. I'm not offended by the remark. Couldn't he expect him to know?
Jack is doing more for the American cause than any ten.
Ah, now, hush, woman, hush.
I'll bet you carry more in your head than you do in your pack.
Aye, perhaps, but one thing I do not carry in my head is a loose tongue, laddie.
Ah, let that be a caution to you two chatterboxes.
The bushwhackers came down on us, Jock.
Aye, yesterday eve.
They tried to chop down the door.
We gave it to them good.
You should have seen them run for their...
Hold your clack now, lads. Laugh at an unholy clatter. And Mr. McGregor barely a foot through the door. Set another platter, Robbie. Rest your pack, good man. And come sup with us.
Why, thank you, Mistress Jackson.
And what news of the war, Mr. McGregor?
Oh, the war has come to us. To the Waxhaw. Aye. 'Tis more than bushwhackers we have to fear now.
Oh?
Aye. The British have landed in Charleston. They'll soon come fighting here on the Waxhaw.
Ah, not if Colonel Davy and his Carolina boys have anything to say about it.
Aye. Davy will drive every last redcoat into the sea. And Brother Hugh is with Davy. Why, if they dare to come this way, Brother Hugh...
Now, hush, hush, Andy, lad. Listen to old Jock McGregor for a wee bit.
What is it, Mr. McGregor?
Well, I've come from Davy's camp for news of the patriots here in the Waxhaw.
Oh?
He wants every male who can carry a gun to join him at Hanging Rock, and that within the month. For there he means to make a stand.
Every male who can carry a gun?
Why,
that means me.
Hush, hush, Andrew.
And Robbie. I can handle a rifle as good as any.
You're only a child, Andrew. Boy of 12.
I can shoot. Isn't that what Colonel Davy's looking for, Jock?
Well, the situation is very grave, Mistress Jackson. Very grave.
Why? Well, why are you looking at my young ones like that, man?
Ma, you heard what Jock said. Colonel Davy...
Hold your tongue, Robbie.
But, Ma, if we're needing...
For shame. Jock McGregor, putting rash thoughts like that in the heads of mere children.
Children?
Why, Ma?
Hold your tongues, I say. Robbie, Andy, my little sons. Nay, you're not old enough to leave home. To shoulder a musket and go off to fight.
I'm bigger and stronger
than
many a man.
And I can shoot a rifle.
It takes more than strength. Aye, more than shooting a rifle straight to make a man, lads. You're children, with the minds of children. No, I won't let you go. I couldn't bear having anything happen to one of you. This wilderness that took your father, my dear husband, that was hard. And my son Hugh is already with Colonel Davy. The good Lord only knows what fate he has suffered. Rot, I know he may be lying cold in some bloody field. Or sore wounded at Hanging Rock.
No, ma'am. I came from the camp at Hanging Rock, and Hugh was not among the wounded lying there.
Oh, thank God. But were there many, many wounded there, Mr. McGregor?
A goodly number. But your son Hugh, he was
perhaps
not...
by the goodness of God, he was spared. But the others... How are they cared for? Who was tending them?
Oh, there was a surgeon. Oh, a good one. Dr. Golden by name.
Mr. McGregor.
Aye?
Did you bring those shears that I bade you fetch me when you came by this week?
Aye, that I did, and to be sure. Finest pair of shears ever factored in Glasgow.
Let me have them.
Aye, they're here in my pack.
Robbie, fetch me my clothes from the loft.
Your clothes, Ma?
Yes, all of them. I mean to cut them into bandages. I'm leaving for Hanging Rock come morning.
Indeed a dangerous trip, Mistress Jackson. May the Lord bring you home safely.
Hand me up the saddlebags, Andy.
Yes, Ma.
Don't look so sorrowful, Andy. You'll be quite safe.
Tain't that, Ma. It's just that I want to go, too. Please, Ma. Please let me ride with you to Hanging Rock.
Nay, Andrew. You're to stay home. Robbie will look after you.
I don't need looking after.
You sure do, Mr. Big Britches.
Don't you call me that, Robbie Jackson, or
I'll... Now. This is no time for fighting.
Not here, leastways. Please, Ma. Let me ride with you to Hanging Rock.
Hey, Robbie. You're to stay at home and watch over Andy.
Don't need no watching over.
Now. Be good, lads. Come now. Kiss your mother goodbye. Dear. Now, if I'm not back within a fortnight, make your way to Aunt Jane's plantation at 10 Mile Creek.
Goodbye, Ma.
Goodbye, dear.
Please, Ma. Take good care. Come home soon.
Now, don't you worry, lad. Your Ma can take care of herself. Goodbye, Miss McGregor.
Oh, God be with you, ma'am, and keep you safe.
Get up, Happy.
Andy, fetch the lard can from the cabin and start cleaning them rifles. I'll get the pony saddled up.
Hey, now look here, you young scallywags. What are you two up to?
We're heading for Hanging Rock.
More bandages, Mrs. Jackson. More bandages.
Can't stand those blasted regulars. They can handle a musket sight better than we reckon.
Here you be, Dr. Colton.
Lie still, man, while I get that ball out of your arm. Cut away his britcher leg, ma'am, and see to that wound. No, use the knife. That buckskin is too tough for your shears.
If it's all the same to you, Doctor, could you tend to my leg and let the good woman look to my arm?
Lad, this is no time for a show of modesty. Easy now, easy.
Tain't me. It's here I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's hot. Wash out the wound, ma'am. Bandage it up. Now let me look to his leg.
The ball went right through, sir.
Good, saving the pain of probing for it.
I'll finish up with him, Doctor. But there is a young lad over there with half his chest torn away.
Hey, there's many of them badly hit. Never saw the like of it. Hardly a man here with less than 3 wounds.
We mean to hold that crossing, Doctor, until help comes.
It had better come soon. If only Nollet Chucky Jack would get here with his mountain men. Lander, Joshua, here come more wounded.
Well, we set him, Doctor.
Over yonder, neath the hayloft. I'll look to them soon.
Yeah, look to him, woman. Got to get back to the crossing. He's got a bet. Well, saints alive, Aunt Elizabeth, what are you doing here?
Jim Crawford. Are you hurt, nephew?
Just a strip off in my scalp. Nothing to it.
Oh, wait. Jeb, wait.
Hattie, I've got to get back to the cross.
Jeb, have you seen or heard aught of Hugh, my eldest?
Can't say I have, Annie, not since the Battle of Stone Ferry, leastways. But I can tell you those two young uns of yours.
Robbie and Andy, they... What do you mean? They're at home.
I reckon I know my own kin when I see them.
Jeb, where are they? Tell me.
Last time I saw them, they were down a meadow about a mile yonder, popping away at everything they could see and having a time of the young lives.
Look, Robbie. There's a whole mess of redcoats are coming across the meadow.
I can see them as well as you can.
We better get fast. Let's run for the brush.
Oh! Andy, you hit.
Yes, so. My leg. I can't move it.
Your leg. It's all the blood.
But I don't feel a thing. Not a thing, Robbie.
How does your leg feel, Andy?
Right fit again. But what good are legs in this hole of a prison? Laura, me, Robbie. There was no sense in you being caught, too. You should have kept her running.
Ma, she told me not to let you get out of my sight. Figure I told you that must 1,000 times in the past fornight. So why do you keep asking about it?
Because I still think there was no sense to it. That's why. Robbie, when do you reckon they'll let us go?
I don't know.
You think we'll be here till the war's over?
Perhaps.
Robbie.
I.
Reckon Ma knows where we'd be?
Andy, hush that fool mouth of yours.
You feeling bad, Robbie?
I reckon it's the heat's bothering me, that's all.
Heat? Laura, me, Robbie. It's chilly enough in here to freeze a body's soul. You're not sick, are you? You haven't got the plague, have you?
No, I'm all right.
Let me feel your head, Robbie.
No, I tell you, stay away from me. I'm all right.
But, Robbie...
Andy Jackson, you come an inch closer and I'll strike you down. So help me heaven, I will.
You're quite certain, Dr. Colden, that you can get along without me now.
Lord bless you, Mrs. Jackson, of course. Though how we could have managed without you in those terrible days after the battle, I know not.
Oh, I did only what any mother would have done.
Well, run along home. Heaven only knows how much you need a rest.
I'm afraid that I can't go home yet, Dr. Colden. My young ones sorely need me elsewhere.
Then you've heard from Andrew and Robert?
Aye. I've learned of their fate.
Oh? Where are they?
In the enemy prison in Camden.
Oh. Well, at least you have the consolation of knowing that they're alive and well.
Oh, if it were only so, Doctor.
Oh. What have you heard, Mrs. Jackson?
They are ill. Both gravely ill.
Well, perhaps Colonel Davy can arrange to have them freed in exchange.
No, that would take time. We cannot wait. My lads are took with the smallpox, sir.
Hey, what do you make of it, Lieutenant?
Might be one of His Majesty's couriers with a dispatch. No, by my cell, it's provincial. And a woman at that.
Well, she'll have to stop when she sees the road gate.
By heavens, I don't think she intends to.
Hey, halt! Halt or I'll fire!
Begging your pardon, sir. Why did you knock down me musket?
What a magnificent jump. Indeed, I didn't think she could do it. On my soul, I didn't.
My good woman, you can see for yourself what the river is like. What with the spring rains, my ferry wouldn't stay afloat more than 2 seconds. Nay, you'll have to go around through the Dover Gap. Those cursed redcoats have burned down every bridge twixt here and Charleston.
Giddy up, Patrick.
Hey, woman, are you mad? You can't swim that river with a horse. You'll be carried away. Come back, I say. Come back.
My lord, there's a woman outside who begs an audience with your lordship.
What manner of woman, Captain Furness?
Indeed, it's hard to say, my lord general. She's so bespattered with the cursed red soil of this countryside, I would not venture to judge her age or station.
What concern has she with me?
Oh, that she would not say, except that she comes directly from the rebel camp of Colonel David.
Oh. Bring her in.
Aye, my lord.
Perhaps she has some information that will help lay that scoundrel by the heels.
Come in, ma'am. His lordship will see you.
Lord Broughton.
Yes. Please be seated. Might I inquire of your name and the purpose of this visit?
Mrs. Elizabeth Jackson, sir.
And what concern have you with me, ma'am?
My 2 sons are being held in Camden as prisoners of war. I beg of...
My dear Mrs. Jackson, if you've made this journey in some vain hope to effect their release, then I'm sorry to inform you that your mission is ill-advised. Captain, fetch me the prison file.
Oh, sir, you must listen.
If you please, my good woman.
Here is the list, my lord. I presume these are the 2 rebels.
Yeah. Robert Jackson, age 15. Andrew Jackson, age... Great heavens, only 12 years old.
Aye, sir, my young ones, children. Mere children.
Taken at the engagement before Hanging Rock while bearing arms. Ma'am, if they're old enough to take up arms against His Majesty's troops, then children or no, they're old enough to suffer the consequences for their acts against the
crown. But they are ill. They are near death with the plague. How can you talk of duty to me, sir, their mother?
Yes. You do love those sons of yours, don't you, ma'am?
Oh, I do indeed, sir. I love them more than anything on God's earth.
And you would do anything in your power to gain their release?
Aye, anything.
Very good. We shall see. Captain.
Yes, my lord?
Write out a release for those 2 young rebels.
May heaven bless you, sir.
Aye, ma'am. I will grant their release. But.
But? But what, sir?
A condition, Mrs. Jackson.
A condition?
Their freedom, perhaps their very lives, depend upon your answering 3 questions. Honestly, and to the best of your knowledge.
What are those 3 questions, sir?
1. How many men are under Colonel Davis' command? 2. What arms have they at their disposal? 3. By what means and in what manner do they receive their supplies? Well, Mrs. Jackson?
I see. You expect me to buy my son's freedom with the lives and the blood of my countrymen.
Well, Mrs. Jackson, you love your sons?
I love my sons. I love them too well to see the mother that bore them turn traitor to their country. Good day, sir.
Mrs. Jackson.
I.
In truth, I did not expect you to answer my questions.
Perchance it just amused an English gentleman to torture a woman.
No, by heavens, do you think I have no feelings? Why, I have 2 of my own back home in England. I was only trying to do my duty to my king and country.
Duty? Duty to your king and country? What manner of king? What manner of country is yours that demands that children be cast into a plague-ridden prison to suffer certain deaths? What will it serve you, your country, or your beloved king, if my sons die in Camden Prison? Will that, and only that, satisfy your precious sense of duty?
Indeed, you have a very nimble tongue, ma'am. that the English soil is sodden with the blood of Englishmen who fought and died for freedom. I, long before Columbus stumbled upon this godforsaken wilderness.
Godforsaken wilderness it is. If every Englishman holds so precious the love of liberty, then why would they deny it to the Americans? Oh, I did not come here to bandy words with you, sir. I came here to plead for my sons' lives. Oh, I beg of you, sir, if you won't free my boys, at least give them to me so that I may tend them in their illness.
That won't be necessary, ma'am. Captain.
Aye, my lad.
The release order.
Aye, my lad.
You are going to sign?
Yes. Take your precious young rebels. Take them home. And for the sake of all that's holy, see if you can employ that irresistible eloquence of yours to keep them there.
Ma.
Yes, Andy, lad. Here I am, son. Here is your ma.
I was dreaming.
Oh.
Dreaming I was back in that Camden prison.
Oh. You're home, son. Home.
Home? Home? I don't reckon home ever looks so good to anyone as it does to me. Laura, me, Ma. I'm powerful hungry. Ma, I'm so hungry I could eat my buckskin breeches. Horn buttons and all.
Oh, son. I reckon you sure are getting well again.
Ma, how is Robbie doing in Aunt Jane's? Is he up and about and powerful hungry like me? Is he, Ma?
Oh, Andy.
You're crying, Ma. I never saw you cry before.
Oh, Andy. Andy, lad, Robbie isn't out, Aunt Jane.
Then where is he?
You were very ill on the ride home from Camden, lad. Out of your head with the fever. You didn't know that the good Lord, he took Robbie. Oh, Andy. Oh, Andy.
Don't cry, Ma. You still have Hugh and me.
Nay, lad. Just you. Just you.
Oh, Ma.
Your brother Hugh, he died of his wounds at the Stone Ferry.
I see. Ma, when I get well again, will you let me go back to war?
Suppose, Andy, that I were to say no.
Ma, I'd be terrible sorry if you did.
Why, son?
Because I'd have to disobey you, Ma, and go anyway.
You have learned, too soon, what it means to be a man. It seems only yesterday you were my little lad, my little baby. Nay, Andrew, I will not hold you. You may go. With my permission. And my blessing.
Old Hickory lay back on his pillows in his big four-poster bed on that June day in the year 1845. Tenderly caressing with his fingertips that time-yellowed letter from his mother, written so many long years before. No, he didn't have to read it again. The words were forever seared in his mind in the heat of many a battle. But it was those words from a great and courageous heart that sustained him and carried him forward against overwhelming odds.
These are your brothers, my dear lad, who are lying here sick and wounded on this prison ship. They have fought and are dying for justice and liberty.
Remember, my son, always there is no greater struggle. For life without liberty to a generous mind is far worse than death. And if it be the Lord's will that I fall prey to the scourge that has taken and is taking so many a brave lad, grieve not, my son. For one does not die whose days are ended.
No, he never did answer that letter, thought Old Hickory. She was gone before he even received it. Carried off by the plague as she tended the sick and wounded aboard that prison ship lying in Charleston Harbor. The old soldier turns his head to look over the sweet fields of his plantation and the hills beyond. No, he never did answer her letter. But soon, soon he would answer it. He smiles in content, his eyes closed.
You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. And now it's our privilege to hear from the National Vice Commander of the Legion, Mr. Howard C. Kingdom. Mr. Kingdom.
The better you know America, the better the future looks, is the watchword for a national campaign on the future of America. The American Legion, with a membership of nearly 3 million veterans, dedicated for God and country, believes firmly in the principles and ideals which form the basis for our American way of life. There are dramatic changes and almost unheard of expansion going on here in the United States today. In the first place, with an unprecedented population increase, there are more Americans. Provisions for the needs of a greater population is creating more jobs, higher earnings, and savings. Americans are people who originally migrated to this land for religious and political freedom, for increased economic opportunities, and Americans today are uniquely a people who understand expansion and welcome the challenge of new frontiers. A population increase of 4 million people within the past year is a challenge rather than a source of discouragement. We will manufacture more, create a higher standard of living, provide for increased leisure time, better education, and further scientific research. Our people are the best fed, best dressed, and most educated populace in the world. This is due to the fact that our creative energy is allowed full expression within the economic system of free enterprise, within the structure of a truly representative government. Communism has small appeal for a people who, to use a typical American slang expression, never had it so good. To a people who look to the future with confidence and knowing that today's effort will, however, make a better world tomorrow. As a nation, we are dedicated to the preservation of a progressive spirit, which is our inheritance.
Thank you, Mr. Kingdom. Next week, Inheritance will again take you on a journey through the pages of American history. Today's story about the young Andrew Jackson and his mother was written by Henry H. Walsh. Featured in the cast were Virginia Payne as Elizabeth Jackson, David Pfeffer as Andy, David Anderson as Robbie, and John Stanley as Lord Rawdon. Others included Norman Rose, Alistair Duncan, William Lipton, Roger DeCoven, Joseph Boland, and Stuart McIntosh. Inheritance was produced by Wade Arnold and directed by Edward King. This is Bill Hanrahan speaking.
Enjoy fine variety entertainment on The Dennis Day Show today over most NBC radio stations.